Welcome to our Ash Wednesday service. It's a real pick-me-up service, as you've seen so far, and it will continue to be so, don't worry. And that's actually a lot of what I want to speak to this evening. Because I came, you hear me talk a lot about my upbringing when I was much younger, growing up in a much more evangelical kind of tradition, and some of like the responses and reactions and ways I've kind of grown out of that or come out of that in a different way. But there was this kind of intervening period I don't talk as much about that was mainly around my time in seminary. And if you are interested, we can sit down and talk about the different phases of my evolving theology from the last 20 years. But there was this period when I went to seminary where this sentiment of Ash Wednesday really made sense to me. This like words like our wretchedness and our brokenness and our need and our, you know, filth or whatever strong words meaning bad things you could come up with. I was very much in this place where my understanding of who we are and what we do was being driven down deeper and deeper into our awareness of our sin. And that in our forgiveness there, being transformed, very much rooted in that gospel lesson, if you have heard before, where Jesus says, you know, for they who have been forgiven much, love much. This idea that our love comes out of our awareness of how kind of deep the rabbit hole of our sin goes. And it's not that my theology is so different from that now, to be quite honest. It's just I've realized that there is a danger in hitting some of those dark notes a little too hard. Because while sin and darkness, even wretchedness, is a part of the human experience, it is not what defines you and me. And I think we always have to be careful about that. Lent is meant to call us into reflection. Call us inward, not in a sinful and broken way of like focusing on ourselves, but reflecting on our relationship and our experience of God. And too often, I think, we get very much caught up in the stuff of Lent, like what we're going to give up, what we're not going to eat, what we're going to do or not do, all these different things we're going to do that are kind of external to us in one way or another. And when you read the scripture like Matthew's gospel, when you think about and reflect on the liturgy of Ash Wednesday, really what this work is about, it is about going inward more than externalizing our sense of repentance or our sense of our awareness of sin and forgiveness and redemption. We don't so much go down the kind of self-flagellating path in the Episcopal Church. And I would encourage you not to do that, physically or metaphorically. Because I don't think we are helped by focusing on the things that are wrong. We're helped by being aware of them. And not necessarily each an individual thing, right? You notice that in the Episcopal Church, the general confession is our main confession, right? We gather together every Sunday. We say the confession together. We hear the words of absolution. And that's good, right? That's the sense of us turning back to God. We don't require like weekly, daily confession like at, you know, in the booth kind of thing. Like you, if you're from a Roman Catholic tradition, you might be more familiar with. That's not how we do things because for us, while it's important to be aware of ourselves, the idea of searching out each and every sin we can think of in order to kind of confess it out loud, we don't find all that helpful in the long run. Because in focusing on all that stuff and really trying to like identify and pinpoint and pick out all of the bad things we've done distracts us from what I think God calls us to more than anything else, which is repentance. Which is the idea of turning around and turning back to God. The issue isn't whether or not we can like uncover every dark or bad thing we've ever done. I mean, there's obviously reflection in our lives, and being aware of the ways in which we've hurt other people, that's where growth starts. And so by all means, reflect on your life. But it's in the awareness that we are in need that I think is where the work of Ash Wednesday sits. It's in the awareness that I am someone, I am a sinner. And it doesn't have to get more intense or more like elaborate than that. I am someone who is in need of God's grace. And the way in which we need that is a little different for all of us. But it has less to do with those each and individual little things that we do, and it has more about who we are. The ways in which our selfishness or our insecurities or all the things that we have inherited from this world creep up and take advantage of our experience and take advantage of us and lead us into things that are not loving, that are not kind, that are not good. And those things don't come from you. They are the result of living in a world that is not the way it was meant to be. And I think that's really important. When you look, and I was talking about this at our confirmation class, when you look at our prayer book and at the catechism, the teaching tool in the back, the very first section is about human nature. It's not about God, it's not about sin, it's not about creation, it's not about anything, it's about human nature. And the first question is, what are we? Who are we as human beings? And we are the good creation of God, created in the image of God. See, I'm used to hearing human nature and having a very negative connotation with it. Oh, that's just human nature, right? In the Episcopal Church, when we say that's just human nature, what we mean is you're the divine child of God, beloved, created very good. That's our starting place. Yes, sin is a reality of our lives, and that's what we come to be reminded of, because the result of that sin is a world that decays, a world where we find death and destruction, evil and pain and suffering. The work of Ash Wednesday is taking ownership of the way in which we contribute to that, of leaving that here at the foot of the cross, leaving that here at the altar, and receiving the gift of God's grace to us that is given freely and completely. There is not meant to be any fear in the Christian tradition and in the Christian faith. The love of God drives out fear, is what the scriptures say. And I think we make a mistake because so often in our church, we seem to almost rely on fear in order to motivate us, right? Do all the right things. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Give to the church. Give to the rest of the community. Serve. Volunteer. Do all these things. Or else. There is no or else in Christian theology. It's what Christ came and gave his life for. To do away with the or else. There are consequences for the things we do, make no mistake, and we need to take responsibility for those consequences. But who you are is a child of God, that when God looks at you, God sees God's child. And God says you are very good. I know a lot of people that, let me back up. I know a lot of people that criticize this, but I think when you look at the church, there's a lot of ways in which religion in general, and the Christian church is no different, that has really used our fear of death and our fear of things in this world to really do some terrible things, to motivate people to do some terrible things. And that's part of, I guess, what I want to speak to, is to encourage you and remind you that death is not what this is about. The Christian church isn't here to... Let me back up. Let me take the other side of that. The Christian church is here to help us get more and more comfortable with the reality of death. That's what I hope Ash Wednesday offers to you. For you to hear the words that you are dust and to dust you shall return. For me to hear those words. And for that to be able to work into me, into us. For us to just start making our peace with the reality that we are going to die. The first time I did an Ash Wednesday service, and I put ashes on like a newborn's head, like I almost had to stop the service. I was not ready for that. I should have been aware that that was something that was about to happen, but I was not prepared for it. The idea of having a parent holding their child while I make the sign of the cross and ashes on their forehead and remind them of their child's death was a very intense moment for me. And it's been in reflecting on that for the last 12 years that I've started to just kind of rethink how we approach this and what we're doing and what we're talking about and why we gather on this evening. Because that isn't meant to be a harrowing, terrifying reality. It's meant to be an acknowledgement that, yes, this is part of life. And half of what's so special about life is that it's not permanent in this world. There are things and ways in which just the reality of our end affects and allows us to cherish the things that we share together in ways that we otherwise would not be able to do. And now, I'm not making an argument for the greatness of death or anything like that. I'm just saying that it's a part of life. And in the West, in America in particular, it seems like we do everything we can to try to anesthetize and remove ourselves from the reality of death. Our medical profession has seemed devoted to trying to act as if we can do away with it somehow with just enough technology and investment and research. Death is something to walk with. It's something not to be weighed down by and not to celebrate, but to walk with and to hold lightly, to allow it to influence us, to allow it to help us to really enjoy, appreciate, and drink in the beauty and the joy of life. I mean, how many of us go through day to day and like all of a sudden a week's gone and we can't even remember what happened because we've just kind of gone through our motions and we kind of like, you know, at least for me, you know, sat in front of the TV or whatever, or played a game or just did something that just kind of distracted me. And all of a sudden it's a week later. It's so easy for us to live our lives like that. It's so easy for us to spend time. And don't get me wrong, there are times when we just need to veg out. We just need a break. I get that. But I know for me, it's too easy for me to go day after day after day and just keep adding days in that vein, in that way. And moments like this, reflections, sitting in the midst of our reflections of Ash Wednesday and of our mortality, it helps at least me break out of that cycle. It helps me to really appreciate the people in my life and the fact that I have another day with them, that I have the opportunity to visit with them and talk with them and share my time with them. I spend too much time being like annoyed that someone I love called me and wants to talk to me, you know, or wants to spend time with me because I just want to be left alone. And it's this work that helps me desire to be less alone and desire more to be with those in this world. And at the end of the day, I think that is the work of the gospel in this world. It's about how we are brought together, how we become the people of God, how we become the church. Not the church of St. David's, not even the Christian church, but the church that is the body of Christ, that is called into community and into communion together, that is invited to cherish and enjoy and to celebrate one another's lives, both the wonderful things about our experience and the difficult, the good and the bad, the whole experience of it. I don't know about you, but for me, the failings in the people that I love don't generally put me off from them. The people that I love, it seems very easy for me to kind of take the good with the bad and take the difficult with the easy and just to let them be who they are. And I am so thankful that the closest of my friends and family allow me to be the same. Allow me just to be myself. And even though there's things I do that I know just frustrates the hell out of them, they love me all the same. That's what we do here. We worship a God who looks at you and says, yeah, I get it. I know what you're like. You're insufferable sometimes, but I love you. And I'm not going anywhere. And you never need to worry about it. I will always be here for you. So many people in this world spend so much time being worried about the people in their life going away. And what the gospel calls us to over and over again is to be reminded that we never need fear being abandoned. We never need fear being alone. Even in death, that whole saying, everyone dies alone, yeah, in the sense that like we have to face it ourselves, but God is always with us in the midst of everything. And so as you go into this Lent, as I call you and invite you into Holy Lent, and as you hear very intense words about our wretchedness and our brokenness and our need, I invite you to hold that lightly and to make some room for the awareness of our own mortality in the midst of that. So that when we leave this place, it can inform who we are. It can help us to appreciate the things that we experience and the people that we love. It can allow that love to grow more full and more deep in our lives. And it can encourage us and transform us that we might go out into the world and be a part of the transformation of it. Ash Wednesday and Lent is a very special time. I'd encourage you not to worry about all the stuff you're going to do. If there's things that you feel called to do, practices that you feel called to do for Lent, by all means do them. I encourage you to. But don't let them trump the spirit of why we're doing it. Don't beat yourself up if you decided to give up chocolate and then found yourself eating chocolate next week. It's just not worth it. Let it be your practice. Give yourself space and grace. Let yourself breathe and live. And let yourself be transformed, because the work of Lent is much less about what we do and don't do and much more about what God is doing within us, the way God is moving in our hearts and the Holy Spirit is transforming us. And I hope and I pray that both for myself, who is so good at distracting himself, and for all of you, that we wouldn't miss out on the opportunity that this season offers, that we wouldn't be put off by its theme and its focus, and that we would be emboldened and strengthened, not into death, but into deeper and deeper life. Amen.